The Pac-12 is in shambles. Oregon State is a surprise leader in how Oregon's fall to Stanford shook up the North and hurts the conference nationally. All on today's episode of Locked On Pac-12.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, former Pac-12 student athlete, current ESPN social media person, just easier to say that. And joining me today is Locked On Utah's Brian Brown. Brian, Utah had a bye last week, so we won't be talking much about them today, but we saw plenty of surprising action in both divisions of the conference last week, and I first want to discuss Oregon State because I know we deem them the most likely to upset. But did you truly foresee the performances we've been experiencing from the Beavers?
No, I think anybody who really saw that is lying. I thought they were going to be better. We talked about it. I love Jonathan Smith. I love his offense. You know, I thought that they would be good offensively. Still a little bit nervous about the defense, and they've been much more impressive than I thought. But this is a Beaver squad that's just rolling the ball up and down the field. You might even say like a log.
Here we go. Brian's puns every day that he's on the show. You can't get enough of them.
Listen, it's not even just the show. This is a lifestyle. I'm okay. All about that pun life. But it's just been, you know, continual growth from this Beaver squad. They're finding ways to win even against a Washington team that in theory should be better than them. It wasn't a pretty effort at all from Chance Nolan at the quarterback position, but they got it done on the ground, and that's really what mattered most. This is a team that's really doing a good job of possessing the football, of minimizing turnovers, and just, you know, executing at a high level. It's hard to find ways to really dam up this stream that the Beavers have going through the Pac-12 North.
I can't even take it. You are so unreal with these puns. Unreal. Okay, but it is very clear that the Beavers are literally taking over the Pac-12 with their run game. I don't have any puns. That was not there's no puns from Cindy, not purposely at least. Their run game has basically put them on top of the North right now. They're sitting at the top of the Pac-12 North alone with no worries right now after two Pac-12 wins versus USC and UW. Listen, here's the stats. This is can just show you how crazy their run game has been. They ran the ball 101 times on 135 plays against USC and UW. That is crazy. And I think it was like 50 times against UW. In a game that, okay, they beat UW, was it 27-24? That was the final score. Easily you could say, like, okay, that's a close game. They, you know, they didn't just dominate against UW, but I think just knowing what we knew about Washington going into the season and what we expected from them, the Beavers are putting on a show right now and surprising all of the Pac-12, not just the North, honestly. I'm excited to see them continue to play and see how they fare. Unfortunately, they will be facing my Cougars this weekend. They will be heading to Pullman. I'm a little nervous about that. Yeah, doesn't seem like Nick Rolovich is, though. He seems very confident in his defense right now. And I will say that we have seen improvement from Washington State defense. They held Cal just to 6 points last week at Cal, you know, so hopefully playing at home will give them some type of advantage going up against what the conference number one rushing team and number one scoring offense right now.
Yeah, Washington State is a team that's currently holding opponents to 141 yards a game. That's roughly 4 yards per carry. So it's going to be, you know, the Beavers are really going to have to sink their teeth into the run game to see if they can be effective against Washington State. All puns aside, this is just a fun football team to watch. You know, We don't get that excited over run game stuff, but the way they do it, the way that Jonathan Smith runs that offense, it's shifts, it's motion, it's getting different guys involved in it. You know, you look at the number of guys who had a carry in the game for them, and it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys had carries in that game. Now, not everybody for positive yards, but Anthony Gold had a carry for 19. You know, Chance Nolan had a couple carries. The bulk of them from B.J. Baylor. And Baylor has been an absolute he's so good that I really can't even describe him. I'm at a loss for words. But revelation, I think, is a very common phrase that we used to describe these guys who kind of come out of nowhere. And that Oregon State offensive line deserves a lot of credit as well, because they've done a really good job of opening up holes and establishing physicality at the line of scrimmage. And the reality is the Pac-12 has been an offensive-heavy conference for a while, and Oregon State is playing big, strong, physical offense to try and counter the high-flying passing attacks that everybody else has been so invested in.
I will say Washington State can figure out how to contain the run. They may have a chance, because Oregon State's passing game might not be as good as they may need it to be in a situation like that. So if anybody can figure out the formula to stopping that run game, they may have figured out how to beat Oregon State. But I'm gonna pray for my Cougars this weekend.
They need it. They need it. You know, this is an Oregon State team that's rolling, and the rumors of College Game Day possibly going to Corvallis, not this week but next week, are already circulating on Twitter. So it's, you know, this could be a huge, huge game for Washington State to kind of reestablish themselves. Big win over Cal. This is a team that we've always kind of been worried about, you know, with all the outside noise regarding Rolovich and his vaccination status, and that deadline having come up to where he already needed to be vaccinated. So now we'll wait, you know, to find out about that. If they can get a win against Oregon State, suddenly all that outside noise is just that. It's on the outside, and they have some real momentum going, as we're only a couple games into the Pac-12 schedule.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, we're going to dive into that Oregon versus Stanford game. What went wrong, and how, like, now there's all types of craziness going on in the North. So it's a lot there. I don't even know how to process most of it, because unfortunately we all thought Oregon was going to, you know, be the leaders for the whole season, at least. But for those of you who, you know, may want to bet on these games and maybe still bet on Oregon, or maybe just bet on Oregon State, you can head on over to betonline.ag. That is your number one spot for college and pro football action this season, with a new updated interface and site, even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Do not forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Now, a quick shout out to all of you listening. Thank you for making Locked On Pac-12 your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Brian, you know, we talked about the Pac-12 stepping up the game up this season, being part of that national relevancy, and, you know, really being a part of the talks when it comes to college playoffs. And as of right now, Oregon has fell to number 8 from number 3. And while that still puts you in some relevancy with, you know, the college playoff talks and stuff, do you feel like they can bounce back from losing to Stanford, which completely shook up the whole Pac-12, because Oregon was probably the only hope to be a part of this college football playoffs?
You know, I think in the early part of the season they were. my thought was always that the college football playoff this year was going to be a long shot. I felt like the winner of the Pac-12 would have at least two losses. I still believe that, and it's kind of showing out right now that it's going to be at least two, maybe even more. Oregon, I mean, it's hard to say, right? Did they drop the ball, or did Stanford just throw it around behind the rocket arm of Tanner McKee right past a bunch of those Duck defenders? That's, you know, that's the real dynasty that the Ducks left up there in Pasadena, was one of not being able to stop the emerging Stanford quarterback.
But it gets a little tricky, right? Because you're like, okay, no team is just going to lay down and let a team beat them just so that they can say, like, oh, we have our conference relevant in national talk. So, like, I don't blame Stanford for doing what they're supposed to do, going in there and competing and, you know, beating the best so that they can be considered the best. But then it kind of mixes things up because, like, it seems like you continue to play in a conference that won't get the recognition they deserve, because there's not one team that's standing out and really dominating like what they would want to see, and when it comes to AP polls and all that good stuff or whatever. Right now, we only have Oregon and ASU in the top 25, and ASU's like holding on, you know. Granted, they're killing the South right now, but that's not saying much when it comes to the national relevancy.
And the hard part about it is that as long as you have Alabama and Georgia out there undefeated, there's only two other spots that are really open, and the rest of the brand names kind of not really coming through this year. Notre Dame doesn't look like the Notre Dame of recent years, where they've actually been able to go through their schedule undefeated, you know, lost to Cincinnati. And while I love the story of Luke Fickell and the Bearcats, it's a tall task to go undefeated when you're not one of the blue bloods.
For sure.
We're seeing that now. You know, there's a lot of teams in the G5, and you know, we have to include BYU in that conversation as well as an independent, you know, that are undefeated right now. But let's revisit this in weeks 8, 10, 11, you know, once teams have had to sustain some injury stuff and really let the difficulties of the season play out. I think that's the biggest thing for Oregon, right, is that their injury stuff has come early and often. You know, losing Justin Flo, Kayvon Thibodeau has been injured in and out, you know, and obviously we can rehash the calls and the targeting and whatnot, and, you know, nobody's going to have a real clear answer on that. I think the biggest problem is that the Pac-12 did the same thing that they always did and let a big-time game be dictated by officiating miscues. So, you know, it's business as usual out here in a lot of respects, where the conference kind of eats itself. But I don't know that that really would have changed if Oregon would have gone undefeated anyways. If there were five or six undefeated teams by the end of the year, who's really out there going to campaign for the Ducks? I don't know. Hard to say. You know, they had a big win over Ohio State, but
at this point, did that even matter anymore? Is Ohio State even considered the caliber of, like, you know, a opponent that they want to consider? Okay, you're worth being considered dominant in this college playoffs.
In week two, it was a big win, right? Because everybody was surprised. But now all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Ohio State just isn't up to snuff. The linebacking core isn't there. So it already started to happen, right, where the Oregon disrespect was just kind of being thrown around. Now, the whole narrative is just, well, I guess that's it for the Pac-12. They're not going to have a college football playoff participant. And we're in week five, going into week six, right? Like, pump your brakes, everybody. Like, there's so much football left to play. And I tweeted this out a while back. This is going to be the most insane year of football we've ever seen. And Alabama's still going to run the table and win the title, you know?
Okay, so, okay. Hold that, because I want to continue this. I do. I want to continue this, and I want to dive a little deeper into it, because I want to kind of look at the landscape of the Pac-12 and what we've seen so far from them from this season. So hold that thought really quickly for you college football fanatics that, you know, may be looking for a daily fantasy for the college side. You definitely want to check out Prize Picks. They're the leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world, and they offer all the star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players you might not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of the users that deposit and use the promo code will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So the promo code is Locked On that you need to know. You pick 2 to 5 players and then over and under on their projections, and then you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's you versus the projected numbers. Now, the best part about Prize Picks is you can do mixed sports entries. Literally, you can take the over on LeBron and the under on Mahomes and have it all in the same entry and have at it. So use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's literally that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your app store and download the app today. And do not forget to use that promo code Locked On. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Now, for those of you that are like me possibly and are looking to, you know, be healthier this coming fall and winter and make better decisions with your snacks, Built Bar is a perfect protein bar to help you do that, okay? It's delicious and healthy. So you don't have to give up those cravings of sweet, you know, candy and chocolate bars and such, because Built Bar has you ready for all of that. They have 9 different delicious flavors, one of them being coconut, for those that, you know, may like that. I'm not a huge coconut fan, but teach this on. For those of you into the fruitier flavors, cherry raspberry is available for you. And then for my chocolate lovers out there, they have mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Literally something for everyone. And then on the plus side of it all, it's healthy. So it's like you're eating a candy bar, but you're not getting all the extra calories that, you know, comes with it. It's high in protein, 17 to 18 grams, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs. So definitely worth trying if you're looking for a new snack to, like, get rid of those cravings. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Okay, Brian, so back to our talks about the college, you know, college football situation, the playoffs and all of that, and as far as Pac-12 pertains to all of that. The one thing I want to say is, like, you knew with the start of the season that, okay, we had Oregon, USC, UW, ASU, and I think Stanford crept in there. So there were 5 teams sitting in that AP poll situation. As of right now, you have ASU sitting at the top of the South and Oregon State sitting at the top of the North. Oregon State's not in the AP polls at all still, so it's already showing that, you know, the AP voters, coaches, whatever, whoever, the whole, you know, that situation does not necessarily value the teams that Oregon State has beat, and not to mention that they did have that loss against Purdue, which is a team that I don't think anyone sees as, you know, that high of competition, I guess. They're mediocre in a sense of the, you know, in the conference that they're in. So all of that to say is, like, the ones sitting at the top of each division aren't even considered contenders. And then you have Oregon, who now might be fighting to actually win that North title, because let's not forget, Oregon State did beat them last season, and if Oregon State continues to win out, I don't think it's a guarantee that they'll sneak into the 80 polls. They definitely won't be as high as Oregon is right now.
No, and that's part of the problem with the way that our ratings and our narratives go with college football is that, you know, Oregon State was still trying to figure out their quarterback situation, and eventually it got resolved. We saw the same thing with Stanford, right? The Stanford football team's a lot better with Tanner McKee at the helm than with Jack West. Mm-hmm. And look, like, here's the bottom line. The Pac-12 did itself no favors by playing a 5 or 6 game schedule last year and basically throwing up, the entire season to COVID. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I think at the time it was smart of the conference to attack things the way that they did. Unfortunately, there were conferences like the SEC that were operating all along as if they were going to play football, and understandably so. Like they're just different viewpoints and different demographics and everything like that. And so these Pac-12 schools have been behind, you know, behind the curve for a while, and I think COVID just accelerated that. So now we're seeing some teams start to show themselves, right? But by this point, it's too late because you've already had people that are discussing who should be in the college football playoff and what teams are positioning themselves. And we're seeing, you know, a lot of chatter about Iowa and Cincinnati and Penn State. And these are new exciting teams because, oh my gosh, you know, like they're undefeated in week five. But we've never seen these programs make it all the way for a reason, right? And that's the part of it that I think I don't know that the narrative ever really changes until the playoff structure changes, because there's just no reason for it to change, right? Everybody's just going to shrug their shoulders and say, ah, same old Pac-12, just eating themselves alive. So, you know, we can talk about how Oregon could have carried the banner. But I just don't think it was ever realistic. Like, they still have a lot of, you know, trouble on their schedule, and, you know, Stanford was a part of it.
Realistic and probably not even fair, right? Because I don't think any other, and I could be wrong, you can fix me on this if not, I don't think any other conference has a situation where they're relying on one team year in and year out to, you know, take them to the top and really put them in college football relevancy. Yeah. I think that continues to happen in the Pac-12. Now, whether it alternates from who they're expecting to be that team, sure, but it always seems to fall on the shoulders of one team, whether it, instead of it being like, well, as a conference as a whole, let's step our game up. But it's still tricky because, like, everyone can't be, you know, the winners. Like, someone has to lose at some point. And like you pointed out, you already expected whoever won this season to fall short at some point. I didn't think any I will say this, after the first what, 2-3 games, I did kind of think that Oregon would dominate, but that was also due to a lot of the talks about, you know, the type of team they had and the caliber of team they had compared to the other teams in the Pac-12. Now, we had a lot of expectations for teams in the Pac-12 that we know didn't live up to the hype, you know? And I mean, you can even say that same thing with certain players as well, like Kayvon Thibodeau getting hurt early as he did and having to sit out some games and now coming back and yes, still being a dominant force, but you know, it made a difference having him gone out of those games. So yeah, I don't know. It's a little tricky. It's unfortunate because I feel like the Pac-12 is still a very competitive conference. And I think that's not being acknowledged as much as, oh, they're just not of the caliber of our Bamas and Georgias and rest of SEC, you know?
It's true, and I think some of it was that week two, the Pac-12 had two big victories. I guess it was technically week two for USC, but week one for everybody else, right?
But then that was also the other problem, right? Because, okay, UCLA got this big win against LSU, and then now LSU doesn't seem to be the team that everybody was all hyped up about either, and it's kind of a dumpster fire of a win, right?
Yeah, and that, I don't know that that's altogether fair, right? Because we watched LSU, you know, and Auburn really had to fight to win that game. I don't know that Auburn's all that good, right? I think what we're looking at right now is just the fact that our friends over in the Big Ten do a much better job of giving their upper tier teams the opportunity to survive a little bit longer. But that conference is going to start tearing itself apart as well. You know, Iowa and Penn State, I doubt that they stay undefeated. So, you know, and this is an Ohio State team that, like, for them, they're in turmoil, but they're bound to at least get one of those games, you know, when it comes down to it. And so then you're looking at Cincinnati, Oklahoma, maybe in Michigan, maybe BYU. You know, it's just, I don't know. This is going to be a weird year. And I think that, you know, early on to start ruling teams out of the playoff hunt just kind of feels a little lazy.
Yeah.
Especially when there's still so many teams. Like, if you look into the top 25, I mean, Oklahoma State's still undefeated. Like, Arkansas. Everybody was in love with Arkansas. And then all of a sudden last week they get spanked. And now everybody's like, nah, they're not a good football team. So, like, one game?
So I think what needs to change maybe is the evaluation of what is a good football team, because don't forget, this is the sport where any given Sunday, Saturday, whatever is a big part of the sayings, right? Like, everyone knows it can be, and you can have a great team, but at any given weekend, someone else can knock you off your pedestal. It just is the name of the game. This is not a sport of like, I don't know. I don't think any sport really is a sport of numbers because anybody can mess up and lose a game, lose a match, lose a meet, whatever the case may be, you know? So I think, yes, you can have expectations and predictions of, like, who's going to dominate and who's expected to win. But, like, things happen. Things happen and things switch up. It doesn't necessarily mean that someone isn't a certain level of a team, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm going too deep and like.
No, I think you're right on track. We love college football because it's crazy. It's chaos. And every single week there's something going on that you're like, whoa, how did that happen? Like if you want to watch boring things, go watch Serena just dispatch every single tennis player for the last decade and a half, right? Like you want a guarantee, go to something like that, right? Go to F1 where it's Lewis Hamilton. This is college football. This is supposed to be crazy, and there's supposed to be insane things happening from week to week.
But even that, Serena's being knocked off her pedestal and hasn't been able to win a match. I won't say a match. She's won matches, but she hasn't won a full tournament since giving birth. So, like, that's a whole nother spiral of things. At some point, everyone has to lose. Okay. Yeah. That's all that matters.
I don't know when we got to this point where everything has to be a snap judgment immediately for the entirety. Like, why can't we talk about, you know, things in the moment and be like, you know, Oregon still has an opportunity. If their one loss is Stanford and say Stanford runs the table too, or, you know, notches maybe one more loss, like now all of a sudden it's like, okay, so Stanford got a lot better. Like we do this with NCAA tournament teams, but we refuse to do it with college football teams. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, next podcast, we will have Brian Brown back on and we will be talking Utah football, previewing their next matchup since they just came off of a bye week and talking a little bit more about, you know, preparing for the week ahead for them after having such a rough last weekend or last 2 weeks, I guess you could say. Was it like 2 weeks by then?
Feels like a year.
Right. Feels like a year. But you can keep up with everything happening with Utah Utes on Locked On Utes through the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Brian Brown hosts with Jake. And then you can also keep up with Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And you can follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12, at Locked On Utes, and then at Brown Bear SLC and @_Cindy Robinson. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff on the Locked On Pac-12 podcast YouTube channel. We're giving you more and more content and more ways to listen and keep up with everything from the Conference of Champions. And then thank you for making Locked On Pac-12 podcast your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. Now make your second listen one of the other conference shows, Locked On SEC, Locked On ACC, Locked On Big 12. All great hosts, experts in their conferences, and we'll definitely keep you up to date with what's going on in the other college football networks. So, other than that, thank you for tuning in, and make sure you stay locked on Pac-12 on Locked On Network.